Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says this. It says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?'" This is Jesus speaking. "Or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." If you have something, stick it there in that that Matthew verse. We'll come back to that at the very end of the message. We'll come back. You'll see how we come back around to it. But man, we're going to take a look at Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. This is a familiar passage of scripture to us here at City Heart Churches. What our church is based on, Ezekiel 36:26, says this. It says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put my spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." We're in a state of mind series. If I was going to give you a title for today, it would be "Don't Worry About a Thing." Don't worry about a thing. Bow your heads, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, this moment that we have to connect with you once again, to hear your words, to allow it to enter our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to apply it beyond today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak in this moment, take over, remove anything that's not like you in this moment. God, let our attention and our focus be tuned specifically to your word and to what you have to say to us today. I pray that you connect with us, that you touch our hearts, that you challenge us, that you push us ever closer in our relationship with you, God. And we give you the glory for it, God, because you're worthy. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, we all say together. That's how I know you're awake. We all say together. All right, y'all awake today. Awesome. So as I said, last week we started this series called State of Mind. And basically in this series, we've been talking about your brain. Right, this is your, anybody seen that commercial? This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs, they used to say. Right, any questions? We've been talking about the brain and how the brain, we said last week, is separate than the mind. They're two different thing, but really who we are at our core, the essence of who we are a three-part being, right? We have a three-part nature in who we are, and obviously the one part that we have is we have a body, right? We have a body. It's our physical self. Bodies, our physical self. It's this earth suit that we live in while we're here on this earth is what we have. That's the part that we come in contact with in the world through our senses. Your sight, your smell, your hearing, your touch. I forgot the last one. Taste. Hey, there you go. Right. Taste. Right. This is how we operate in the tangible world. As well, we also said last week that we have a soul, that it's your intellect, right? It's the part of us that deals with the mental realm. Our sensibilities and our will, it's the part of us that reasons, the part of us that thinks, right? It's your soul, right? And the other part that we have is our spirit. It's our spirit. It's the part of us that relates to and actually connects us to God. God is a spirit. And so obviously we have to connect and relate to God in that way. It's by the Spirit. And that's why we have one. And so a lot of times in the Bible, when you see this word, particular word, spirit, right, as we read in Ezekiel 36:26, you'll see the relation to the word heart, right? So a lot of times you see the word spirit in the Bible, it actually means, or it's referring to the heart. If you see heart, it's referring to the spirit. And when you see the word soul, a lot of times it's referring to our mind, to our emotions, to our intellect, to that reasoning part of us. And so the main point that we wanted you to take home last week, the main thing that we were saying, hey, this is the part that you should kind of hang on to, is that, man, that spiritual part of you, that spirit part of you should have some impact, should be impacting that mental part of you, right? If we're made up of three parts, that spirit part should really be having an impact on the mental part of you. Or if I could say it a different way, your heart should be having some impact on your mind. Your heart should be having some impact on your mind, right? They're supposed to work together. Your mind and your heart are supposed to work together. And that what requires of us, that requires of us to allow, right, our heart to play a part in what our mind thinks. We have to allow that. We have to be able to, we talked about it last week, we actually said it today, we have to surrender, we have to submit our wills in order for our heart, our spirit, to have some play, some impact, some influence on what goes on in our mind, what goes on in our soulish realm. And we read Isaiah 26, 3, because for a lot of us, what we're looking for is a free mind, right? We want a mind, right? We want to, if we could picture it, we want to, if we could kind of take our mind somewhere at every moment, for me, I could say, personally, if I could be on a beach mentally every day, if I was sitting by the water and I could hear the ocean in my mind, to me, that's just, right? We have a 4 and a 1-year-old, so that runs completely counter, right, to the thoughts of being on a beach and just, you know, nice glass of lemonade and ocean, right? And I got shades on and there's a nice umbrella covering me because I'm already, you know, I'm already brown enough, right? So it's covering me, right? That's, for me, that's where I want, that's where my mind is, man, I'm at peace. That's freedom for me. So anytime we go to the beach, I'm like, yes, I don't have to get in the water. I just want to sit there and just listen to stuff going on, close my eyes and just go to sleep. It's like, that's the best thing on heaven and earth for me right there, right? It's just that moment on the beach. I'm praying, Lord, let there be a beach in heaven. I want it to be a nice one. White sand, you know, some white sand. I want a clear water like they got in, like, Bahamas and Bermuda. That's me. When I get to heaven, I'm going to the beach. That's the first thing I'm doing. Jesus, hey, how you doing? I'm going to the beach. All right. Anyway, back to the subject, right? Isaiah 26:3, right? He says here, right, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. I really feel like we said it last week that, a healthy mind is one that has been impacted by the Spirit. But I believe that even more, that a healthy mind, a free mind, is one that is consistently impacted by the Spirit. It's one thing to kind of come into a service to, right, to experience what we had in worship this morning, and then, okay, you allow your mind for a moment, right? You kind of, as you were saying this morning, you can open up and allow, man, the Spirit to become, to have just a moment of influence on your mind, and then the moment you step out the door, boom, you're right back to who you were, right? That's a moment. What I'm saying is that what would be more powerful is if we allowed the Spirit to have a continuous impact on our souls. We would allow our hearts to have a consistent impact on our minds. Why? You see there in that scripture, Isaiah 26:3, this is a promise from God. He's saying, man, you will keep. He's saying, I'm going to keep in perfect peace those people whose minds are steadfast on me. Why? Because they trust me. He's saying, man, I'm going to give you, man, you want perfect peace? Great, I've got it for you. You want to be on that beach in your mind? Great. Here's how you do it. Be consistently in me. Be consistently focused on me. Be consistently thinking about me. Be consistently, man, connecting to me. Why? Because I'm trustworthy. I'm not gonna mess up your beach vacation in the mind. It's okay. I'm gonna keep you there. I'm not gonna come in like the lifeguard and just wreck it up. No, I'm going to make sure that it's great. Why? Because you trust me. That perfect peace that we see, the perfect peace that we talk about in that verse. Obviously, it's coming. If you read in the Bible, it's actually coming from the Hebrew. You know, obviously the word shalom. Right? If you didn't know that, that means hi and goodbye in Hebrew. But they also, there's a part of it that ties in that talks about leaving someone with, you want them, you're praying for them that they would have health, right? That they would be, some part of them would be healthy as they go. That there would be an aspect of spiritual health that they have. And really it's saying, man, I want you as you go or as you come to be free from any disturbance in your soul. So when he says shalom, when he says, man, I want to give you perfect peace, he's saying, man, I want to give you, man, freedom from disturbance in your soul. Freedom from that stuff. I want you to have perfect harmony within. Perfect harmony within all that's going on with you. And why is steadfast so important? Because consistency is key. Why? We have an enemy that is consistently trying to disturb your peace. You have an enemy that's consistently trying to throw you off track, trying to mess you up any way that he can, consistently trying to do that. So I need to make sure that if I'm going to remain in perfect peace, that I'm doing the consistent work of connecting to God. That's my part, right? He's saying, I'm going to do it. Your part is to stay connected, to be consistent in your connection with me. And this enemy, what he does, the enemy in the word in Ephesians 6 and 16, right, it talks about that the enemy has flaming arrows. Flaming arrows. If I think about it, I love the movie Lord of the Rings. I loved all of them, whole trilogy, all the movies that come, right? And I think of one of my favorite characters in there is Legolas, right? And he's, dude, he's, that's right. Did I mess it up? Wrong movie? Right movie. Okay, right. I'm not off, right? Legolas in the movie, right? And he's an archer, and he's a bad dude, right? He's an archer, and he can hit, I mean, he's just, he can hit just about anything, right? And so he's one of the people like, man, he has this. Thank you. Knew something. Right. Brought this right. He has this, his thing. Do I have this upside down? I do. All right. There we go. All right. So he has his bow, right? And, man, he can hit anything. But if you think about it, the enemy is just like that with us, right, with our minds. What he's doing is every moment that he gets, he's winding up and he's looking at you and he's, that's why they didn't give me bows. They didn't want me to hit nobody, right? He's winding up and he's aiming at your head and he's trying to throw a flaming arrow at your mind all the time. So think about that consistently. There's an enemy, literally, he's just waiting. Oh, you think you got some perfect peace today? Okay, pop, right to your head with another thought. Oh, you're on vacation? Awesome, pop, right there. Oh, you think some stuff is starting to go well in your life? Okay. And he's just waiting with his arrow. He's waiting to throw flaming arrows at your mind. And what are these flaming arrows? What do they look like? The arrows the enemy uses against us are arguments. They're arguments. They are specific ideas that directly contradict the directions or promises that God has given us. This is hugely important. These arguments, these flaming arrows that the enemy sends, they are specific ideas that directly contradict the directions or promises that God has given us. Right? We see it early in the Bible. We see Adam and Eve. They fell because of one of these arguments. Right? What does he say to them? You will not certainly die if you eat this fruit that God told you not to eat. He's making an argument. Right? You're going to be as smart as God. You're going to see stuff that God's going to see, that God sees. He sets up an argument for them. He puts it right into their mind. He's saying something that directly contradicts a promise or direction that God gave them. God said, don't touch my tree. Leave it alone. So I tell my kids, that's daddy's snack. It's his Reese's cup. Don't touch it. It's mine. It does not belong to you, little four-year-old girl. I love you, but don't touch my Reese's cup. Right? That's your one rule in my house. Don't touch my Reese's cup. God gives them one rule. Don't touch my fruit. It's mine. It belongs to me. And he's doing it out of a way to protect them. Why? Because he's saying, I have perfect peace for you. I'm putting you in the garden, and I've given you perfect peace. You get to walk and hang out with me all the time. But there's an enemy that's saying, man, God didn't really say that you couldn't eat from that tree, right? You're not really going to die. That's basically what he's saying. You're not really going to be messed up. We were talking about that in a small group, about the fact that, man, just that them falling for that one argument messed it up for all of us. That one specific kind of hanging on or getting connected to that has put in us sin into our DNA. It's literally hardwired into us to sin because of that one failure to resist an argument. That's why those arguments are so important. And you know what they did? By accepting the argument, they chose to not believe God in what he said. They chose to not trust God in what he told them to do. They chose to not believe God's promises for them just by accepting that argument. And we do that all the time. We don't think we do. We kind of fail. God says one specific thing. We might hear it on a Sunday. We might read it in the Word. But then we go and do the exact opposite of it. We fail in that way. And here's the harm in that, man, because to not believe God is to become allies with the enemy. When I don't believe God, I become the enemy's ally. I join his team. So he's still going to send arguments, but now it's friendly fire. I'm on his team. He's like, okay, great. Oh, you think you're on my team? Man, I'm still going to hit you. I'm still going to send arguments at you. Man, so to not believe God is to become allies with the enemy. And here's what allies do. They choose to cooperate. They choose to work with and allow each other access to their territory. What is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to gain access to your territory. So he's going to continue to try to send flaming arguments, to send flaming arrows to your mind because he wants to take your territory. He wants to take your life. He wants to take your mind. He wants to take your happiness, your health. Anything that he can get that in any way resembles God, he's trying to tear it down. So it's so important for us to be able to know what he's doing. Make sure you're not aligning yourself with the enemy's agenda. Make sure, man, that you're not falling for his arguments. And it's so easy for us to do. And one of the major ones that we fall for all the time is one that gets probably everybody in this room, you've fallen for it at least once. Right? God doesn't condemn you. He's not turning his back on you. But we fall for this argument, and it's wise because it's so subtle in how it comes. It's not loud and abrasive. It's really quiet in how it comes. This big, big arrow that the enemy consistently throws our way is worry. It's worry. He's consistently sending it at us. It's worry. What is worry? It's allowing your mind to dwell on difficult, troubling, and/or harmful things, such as imagining worst-case scenarios. Man, I know this is going to fall apart. I know this, man, this is just going to blow. It's always the worst thing. Man, I can't go for this job because I don't have the qualifications. Nobody asked you that. Just apply. You don't know. It could be somebody stupid on the other end getting your application. Apply anyway. Love you. Right? But that's what he does, right? We allow our minds to dwell on stuff that's specifically harmful to us. That's just the worst case scenario. And what do? When we're actually doing, when we worry, we're actually tormenting our own self with disturbing thoughts. We're tormenting our own self when we worry. Why? Worry, right? Here's the argument that worry is. Worry is an argument from the enemy that says you can handle your situations better than God, or you can handle your situations without God's help. That's what worry is that you can handle your situation better than God, or you can handle it without God's help. Man, Lord, finances are crazy. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Maybe I should go out and do something strange for a little change. You know what I'm saying? Like you start to worry. Man, I don't know how we're going to make this. Man, I don't know how this is going to line up. You start thinking of all these awful ways, these awful things, man, this is not going to turn out this way. Man, I don't know how my kids are going to grow up. I don't know where we're going to send them to school. We start to worry about stuff. The enemy's just sitting there. Yup. He's just sitting there, arrow back, just throwing bows at us. Just what? There you go. Right at you. And when we fall for it, and it's so subtle, it's not hard, it's not big, it's subtle, but it is a lie from the enemy. When we worry, we're accepting the enemy's argument, we're accepting his lies. And here's the areas that we kind of fall for the most. It's kind of three areas everybody falls in. These are the areas that we worry about the most. It's our provision. We worry about provision. We worry so much about it. Man, it's our money. Man, how am I going to get money? Man, we worry about our food. Man, what am I going to eat? Man, we worry about material stuff. It's what you have. It's what you need. That's what you worry about. It's our provision. It's our purpose. It's what we worry about. It's the second thing we worry about. Man, our career, our salvation. Man, it's what you do. What am I supposed to do? You worry about that stuff. Man, what if I don't get this job? I'm not going to be anybody. Man, if I don't get this degree, that means that I don't amount to something in this city or in this place. If I don't do this thing, then we worry. We worry about our purpose. The third thing that we worry about is our position. It's our identity. It's our place. It's our title. Right? We worry about that stuff. That's who you are. It's the stuff that we worry about, and the enemy consistently is throwing that argument at our heads. You can handle this without God. You can just do this on your own. You don't need God to help you this. Man, why are you praying about that? You don't need to pray about that. You can just go out and do it. Just do anything that you want to do. Here's the thing. God wants us to ask for his help. He wants us in the middle. He wants to be in the middle of our situations. He wants to be involved in your life. We're trying to help you to figure out, man, where does God fit in? God shouldn't be number four on your list. He shouldn't come at the last part of your day. Your very last thought is God. Why? Because that leaves us in a place of worry. 1 Peter 5:7, the word instructs us to give all your worries and cares to God. Why? Because he cares about you. He cares about you. Somebody need to hear just that today. God cares about you. He cares about you. He's saying, man, give that stuff that you've been worrying about, man, give it to God. Give it to him. This is where the moment where you have to begin to allow your heart into the decisions, into the things that your mind thinks. This is where your heart comes into play. It's that part of you that connects with God. If we don't allow our hearts into the mental aspect of what we have going on, there's no way that God can be involved in our life situations. He wants to be involved. Why? He's saying, because you can trust me. I care about you. Man, he's trying to bless you. But if we don't include God, we can't expect outcomes that look like him. If we don't include God, we can't expect outcomes that look like him. It's going to look complete opposite of who he is and what he is. But here's the thing. God is aware of what you're going through. And that's the thing we're saying, man, he can't work. God has to be invited into our situations. We have to let him and say, God, you know what? Maybe I normally don't pray when I first get to work. And it seems like every day I'm going through drama at work. How about when you sit down at your seat, even before you leave your car in the parking lot, taking a moment to say, you know what, God, these people wear me out every day. But I know your word says that you care about me, that you're thinking about me, that I can trust you. So, Lord, man, I'm praying that you will just give me perfect peace today on my job. I dare you to just try it tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. I triple dog dare you to try it. Just try God in that moment. Zechariah 4:6, and this is where, again, you have to allow the heart to begin to work on the mind. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. How do we begin to fight the enemy? To begin to block those arrows that are coming at us. It's not by power, right? It's not going to by your mental power or your mental might, but it's by my spirit. That spirit has to begin to impact. We have to allow it to impact our minds. If we don't, we start to get negative emotions. We start to experience things that are opposite to what God desires for us. We start to face depression when we don't allow God into situations. Why? Because we're worrying about it. We haven't let God in. And it's because circumstances haven't turned out the way I want them to, right? It hasn't come in the time that I expected it to. Now I start to worry. God, how are we going to make ends meet? Man, how am I going to get out of this situation? We're not letting God in. He wants in. He's saying, man, I want to bless you. I want to care about you, but you have to let me in. In these situations, we have to be ready to counter the false arguments that then and the flaming arrows that the enemy is throwing at us. How do we do that? We have to be able to counter it, right, with something that's different than what the enemy's throwing at us. So if he's throwing false arguments at us, then we have to counter the false arguments that we encounter from him with the truth, right? If the enemy's throwing false arguments at me and I know that, I have to encounter that. I have to stop that with the truth. What is the truth? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. When I get in those situations where I'm worrying, I'm doubting, I have to begin to counter it with the word of God, with the truth. John 8:31-32 says, man, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. How do we get free? How do we have a free mind? It's by abiding in God's word. It's by knowing the truth. It's by having a connection with it. How do we do that? We learn, we read, we study, we speak out the scriptures. We speak out what his word says. When we get into situations, man, instead of just relying on what we think, man, maybe I should start saying something that sounds like what the Lord told me. Maybe we begin to speak the promises of God verbally out loud. Maybe you begin to memorize them. Put one on your car seat, on your steering wheel, so that it's in your face all day. Begin to memorize that scripture. Man, I it doesn't seem like I can do this, but man, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Completely changes the game for you. It's like, man, well, God, you on my side. That means I can do all things. That means I can get this job that I wasn't qualified for necessarily. Hopefully you have half the qualifications. Got some on it. Jesus, help us. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit. We talked about that, the fact that God's a Spirit. And it also says, man, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So that means where the Spirit of the Lord is, if I allow the Spirit to begin to impact my mind, what's going to happen? Freedom. Freedom. And a free state of mind, we said, is one that has been impacted by the Spirit. That's why you have to be careful of what you're allowing in. Be careful of even the words that you are receiving. Maybe your horoscope isn't the best place to find a word to edify your life. Maybe Facebook comment section isn't the best. I can tell you that right now. It is not the best place to find a word that's going to edify your life. It may not be Fox News. It may not be MSNBC. It may not be CNN, where you're going to find a word that's going to bring edification to your life, that's going to change how you think. It's not going to be there. I need to go to a place where I can find some real truth. And it's not watered down. It's not propagandized. It's not changed to fit this particular demographic or specific or this their idea. I'm looking for the absolute truth that I know I can find in the Word. Why? Because we have a source that is trustworthy and that actually cares about me. So important. The Bible, right, says that the Word is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:16, right? If I'm going to have any chance in a fight with the enemy to free my mind, I better know how to handle my weapon. Don't show up to a gunfight with a knife and think you're going to win. You are going to get shot. You better bring a sword. You better bring something different up in there that you can fight with, right? That's what I'm saying. That's why we're encouraging everybody, man, come to small group. Come connect. I know it's Wednesday nights after work. Trust me, I'm getting off work too and coming, and it's a sacrifice. But we want you to learn the word so that when these situations come, that you are equipped and ready to deal with what's going on in your life. But if you're not connecting with the word, if you're not getting it in you, if you don't know it, it's so hard to fight an enemy that knows what he's doing. The enemy's coming in. He's Bruce Lee up in. He's ready for you. And we're coming in, and we're looking like Ralph Macchio trying to fight Bruce Lee. We're going to get whooped. We have to, man, I better learn how to wax on, wax off with the word. Come on, y'all, don't act like y'all don't hear me today, right? I better get my Mr. Miyagi on and figure out how to apply the word to my life, how to speak it. This is true. I know it's funny, but it's a good word. Figure it out. Anyway. How do we do this? Man, it's regular time engaging with the word. It strengthens my ability to use it. If I never crack it open, if I open it up and have to blow some dust off it, that means maybe I'm not using it enough. Use your phone. You got technology at your ready. Use it to your advantage. Wake up with the scripture of the day. Just read that. Right, and meditate on that thing all day. Just read it 2 and 3 times. Scripture of the day, not scripture of the first 10 minutes of your day. It's of the day. Read it over and over and over again. Get it down in your heart. Why? Because there's going to come a moment when you're going to be in a situation that you're going to need that scripture. Then you're going to be like, how do I even know that scripture? You've read it. You've memorized it. You studied it. And now when the enemy throws a flaming arrow at it, you're like, devil, no, not today. This scripture says this. And now you can apply the word to the argument that the enemy's trying to throw at you. require something of us. I have to be ready with my word. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. The world's not fighting with this. On the contrary, what we have, the weapons we have divine power. They're connected to God to demolish strongholds. And watch this. We demolish arguments. Arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So not only am I demolishing and defeating the arguments, I'm actually taking you hostage. All these thoughts and stuff that's trying to tear me down, you're not going to dominate my life. I'm going to lock you away somewhere and put you somewhere where now I can begin to apply the word. Anytime you try to raise your ugly head, man, I begin to speak the word and quote it back, man, it just in that moment. Why? Because I need God to make a change in my life. I can't let this stuff continue to get me down where I'm stuck in a place of worry. Man, I can't do that anymore. You will worry yourself to death. Literally worry yourself. I've seen it happen before. People worry themselves to death. Happens all the time. And here's the thing. Our weapons work. I'm not saying just because I'm a pastor up here and that's my job to say it. I'm saying it because of that. But I'm also saying it because it actually works. Pastor Kevin, how do you know it works? Why? Because Christ fought off the enemy's fiery darts against his mind. He did it. Right? We all talk about the fact that if Christ did it, that means we can do it. Anything he can do, he says in his word, we can do better, right? The word says that. Anything that he can do in the word, he says, man, you have the ability to do greater things than even I did on the earth. So that means anything that Christ can do, that means I can do it better. So, man, let's take a look. Man, how did Christ fight off the enemy's fiery darts against his mind? I love this. I used to teach this in kids ministry all the time, this particular passage, right? Matthew 3:16, we see Jesus going to get baptized by John the Baptist, right? The skies open up as he's coming out of the water. And it says that the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. And it lighted his life. It affixed to Jesus. So what do we see there? We see the Spirit in connection with Christ. At this point, he's a man. Right, he's all God, but he's also a man. So he needs the Spirit. God's saying, look, son, I'm well pleased with you, but let me give you something because the enemy is going to try to mess with you. He gives him that. You go to Matthew 4, just a couple of verses later, he's led into the wilderness with the enemy. And what does the enemy do? He starts spitting out arguments at Jesus. Here's the first one he says. He says, okay, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then you can, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. He says, if you're the Son of God, then you can make some food for yourself out of some rocks over here. What is he saying there? He's challenging. He's trying to get Jesus worried about his provision, about the fact of what, Jesus, what are you going to eat? Look, God's not even providing for you out here. You're going to church every week, but God's not even meeting your needs with food. Man, you should try to do something different. He's trying to test and get you worried about your provision. What does God say? He says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That means in the times when, man, my provision gets a little tight, my money starts to look a little funny. And, man, that you have to recognize that that is an argument from the enemy. It's a lie from him. He's trying to get you distracted. He's trying to get you off the place where you're not focused on God, where you're not connected with him. He's saying, man, but we know. What did Jesus do? He countered the enemy's arguments, the enemy's lies with the word. This is Jesus. He said, the word is this. His argument number two, the enemy tried to throw at Jesus. He said, okay, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just go ahead and throw yourself off this mountain? Basically, Jesus, why don't you try to kill yourself and see what happens? Just go ahead and throw yourself. What is he trying to do? He is trying to attack Jesus' purpose. If Jesus had died in that moment without taking on our sin, we would not be here today. We would be suffering in sin if he had succumbed to the enemy's argument in that moment. Because it was not his plan. It was not his purpose. That's not the moment that he was called for. He's saying, I can't do that. He's trying to attack him in his purpose. What the enemy does to us. It's what you see with people committing suicide. He tries to attack them in their purpose. He's saying, man, you're not called to do this. What you think you're here to do, why don't you just go ahead and kill yourself? That's what happens to us. When you start to get those thoughts, that is the enemy. It is a lie from him. He is deceitful. He's trying to tear you down. He's trying to kill you. I would love for you to kill yourself so it can take you out of the purpose that you have of the next person that's supposed to find you that's going to make a difference in this world. But if we succumb to that argument, if we succumb to that lie, we have, man, we've given him the game. It's exactly what Adam and Eve did. Right in that moment, they gave the enemy the game in that moment. What's the third one? Man, he comes to me, he says, man, I can give you, look at all these kingdoms, look at this world. I can give you all the power and the wealth of the world if you would just bow down to me. That's what the enemy tells him. He's trying to get Jesus to be worried about his position. Jesus knew exactly who he was, who God had called him to be on this earth. And he's trying to get them thrown off the same things that happens to us. So he's trying to attack us in our identity. Oh, man, you're too black for this. You're too white for that. You're too female for this. You're too male for that. He's trying to attack our identity. He's trying to change even what we think about our identity. Oh, Lord, forgive me. You are something different than what I've designed you to be. He's trying to attack us in every place that he can get us confused and worried. It's what he does. That's how he causes deceit in our lives. And Jesus tells him, he says, away from me. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He's saying, man, I'm going to come back to you with the word. The word says something different than this lie, than this argument you're trying to give me. We have to do the same thing. Take the word, open it up, learn it, memorize it, study it, prepare on it, so that when these times come, when we face worrying situations, that we have something ready for the enemy and his arguments. And notice, I love the scripture. It says, man, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and what will he do? Flee from you. That's what Jesus did. That's what we're supposed to do. And here's why. It's because we're not supposed to be stuck in this place of worry. Some of us are carrying burdens that we were not meant to handle on our own. We're trying to do it by ourselves. We're not trying to be in the community with these burdens that we're carrying. We're trying to handle it all by ourselves, and we're going crazy. We are worrying, literally worrying ourselves to death over stuff that God's saying, would you just give that to me? I know you're standing in the need of prayer. I know you're standing in need of a change in your life. Would you just give that to me? Man, I know you've been struggling to get another job, and man, the market is just so crazy, but instead of trying to do it on your own, would you just give it to me? Man, I know your money's looking a little, it's been funny for a while now. Your business may not be adding up the way it's supposed to be, but instead of trying to figure it out on your own, would you give it to me? You can trust me. I care about you. I love you. We see this when God sent his own son. He's saying that sin, even that sin that's in your life, you can't carry it. You can't fix it. You can't solve it by your own. Your mind has been so cluttered and cobwebbed with things that are not healthy and beneficial to you. Will you allow my spirit to begin to have an impact on your soul? Allow my truth to begin to counter the negative and downright awful, flaming arguments of the enemy. I care about you. I want to change your life. We sang about that today. We want change to happen now. It's Jesus. The Lord changes everything, but it requires of us to be able to give it to him, to not worry. To not worry about a thing. Why? Bob Marley said it. Every little thing is going to be all right if we put it in God's hands. This is a message for all of us. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you drink. Don't worry about the clothes that you're wearing. God's saying, man, if you would trust my word, I have everything that you need. You do not need to worry. I love you, and I care about you. And I have something amazing for your life. If you would just trust me, I have perfect peace waiting for you. If you would just trust me. I have hope waiting for you if you would just trust me. I have love waiting for you if you would just trust me. I have provision waiting for you if you would trust me. I have purpose. I know what it is. I know that it's waiting for you if you would trust me. I have that position that you've been waiting for, that you've wanted, that you've been trying to get on your own. You've been trying to do it your own way. I have it for you if you would just trust me. He is the God that cares about our minds. So much so in his word that he said he'd give us perfect peace if we would just trust him. Some of you have been carrying burdens that you were not meant to handle on your own. Suffering in silence by yourself. In this moment, right now, God wants to provide freedom for you. He has freedom for your mind. He has freedom for your mind. God has freedom for your mind today. He's saying, will you just trust me? I know what it looks like. I know it doesn't look the way that you think it should look. Would you trust me? I hear your cries at night in the room. Would you trust me? I know the heartache and the pain that you've been dealing with for years that nobody knows about. Would you trust me? He cares so much for you. He cares so much for you. Would you trust him today? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I know there's somebody in this room that's dealing with that right now. You feel like you can't go on another day. God is saying, I'm here and I'm ready to help you gain freedom in your mind. If you would just only trust in me. If you need prayer for that today, you've been carrying around worry for so long, it is literally keeping you up at night because you're worried about a person, you're worried about provision, you're worried about something going on with a position or a title, you're worried about something going on with the purpose and the calling and your career or something like that. Whatever it may be, God is here to meet that need. He is here to change everything in your life. If you would only submit to him in this moment and allow his spirit to have an impact on your mind, on your soul. If that's you, I just want you to stick your hand up and write back down. I just want to pray for you in this moment. I see that hand. I see that hand all over the room. I see hands up. Lord, I thank you for this word. God, I thank you for your word that tells us that we are free, that you tell us that we will be in perfect peace if we would only trust in you, if we would consistently and steadfastly connect ourselves to you. God, for those of us who haven't done that, we've maybe done it one time or maybe here and there, but we haven't done it consistently. God, I pray that in this moment that you would give us the discipline, the tenacity to begin to seek your word like never before. God, tear down those walls, those things in our life that might be trying to keep us from you. those friendships, those relationships that are continuing to pull us back into things that are not like you. Those lies and arguments from the enemy that would just continue to rattle our brains that we don't know, we don't have any defense for. God, I pray that you would show us in your word that you care about us, that you are thinking about us. Lord, I pray that we would begin to study, that we would begin to learn, that we begin to memorize, we would begin to read, that most importantly, that we would begin to speak what your word says when these situations occur for us. Lord, I thank you that you are changing everything when we connect with you. That you change everything when we connect with you. If you're here and you've never connected with God before, you've never had a relationship with him, you don't know him, you probably looking and saying, man, where do I even begin? We start right here, right now, right in this moment. And even if you knew him, but you kind of fell off the wayside, you've kind of been doing your own thing, trying to solve situations and problems by yourself, but you recognize that, man, I know now that I need the Lord, that I can't do this by myself any longer. If that's you, man, I want us to pray together for you and with you today. Just slip your hand up and write back down. I just want to see so we know what we're praying for today. I see that hand. Let's all pray this together. As loud as you can, say, Lord, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that your word says that you care about me. I thank you that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins and to rise again to live in my heart that I might experience freedom in my life. I declare Jesus Christ my Lord. I submit my will to him today and from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that you were blessed and touched by this message. If you were, just clap your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We serve an amazing God that loves us so much. And I recognize in this season that I feel like sometimes we talk about so many things in the church, in the church world, but we don't talk about just, man, how much God actually loves us and cares about us, cares about the lost person. We're talking about that this morning, how much he cares for people that feel like they're lost. God, he distinctly loves people. He will leave the 99 to go after the one. That's how much. He will leave the people that seem like they have it all together, that have it all together, to go after you because he knows how much you need. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.